So we had a little fiasco of our own this afternoon. One of our storytellers, Alicia, had to drop out. That's why she's on your program and not here this evening. But we have such a wonderful pinch hitter in Ron Bostwick, who is one of our music hosts on the Colorado Sound. You know him as the morning show guy. You've probably seen him at the Boulder International Film Festival, and as the start line announcer for the Fortitude 10K here in Fort Collins, as well as the Boulder Boulder. He's a man about town. Give it up for Ron.
I don't mind. Okay. It's kind of funny because normally, like, I push a button to play music. I don't normally have the guy right here. Well, keep playing. I kind of enjoy this. I think Quaka Saka is going to be my new computer password. By the way. So I'm 29 years old. And of course, I know everything. You know, at 29. And I am living in Boston, where I went to college. And I am working for a film and video production company. And I went to college for radio. And here I am in television and film, and I have no idea what the hell I'm doing. But somehow I'm doing well as a sales rep for the company and a co-producer making TV commercials and making really good money and just having a great time in my late 20s. And the economy takes a little dive in the early 90s, and all of my work was done with advertising agencies. And we started to see at the company the revenues going this way. And on May 18th of 1990, I get called into my boss's office, and I become the seventh of 15 people over the course of a number of months to get laid off. My boss really liked me, and he had tears in his eyes telling me that I was the latest casualty. And I'm thinking, I'm taking the summer off, you know? This is great. I worked a great severance package, and they paid my insurance for a while. And I said, oh, this is fantastic. And I had come to visit Colorado because I had dated this woman in Boulder for a while. And I thought, you know, I'm going to go get in my 79 Jeep 3-speed and go out to Colorado and see what it's all about. So I get in my Jeep and I come out and I ask the old girlfriend, we were talking again after not for a while, you know, would you mind if I just sort of crash with you for a little while? I'm just going to drive around the state and just sort of see what might be out here. She said, yeah, not a problem. So I'm driving around the state in the summer of 90, and I'm up in Steamboat having a great time. And I'm going to go meet her at her brother-in-law's and sister's place down in Carbondale, or in Snowmass. And I'm driving south of Steamboat, and I'm driving through Oak Creek. If you've never been to Oak Creek, it's a town of about 800 with no stoplight. It is the West. And I see this cool-looking consignment shop. I get the day to kill. I pull in. I'm walking around. I strike up a conversation with the owner. I find out he owns a 1,000-acre ranch outside of town. Now, at the time, I was in my Western phase. I was reading Louis L'Amour and Ivan Doig, and I imagined myself, I'm gonna come to Colorado and be a cowboy. And here's this guy with 1,000 acres. And I say to him, do you ever hire ranch hands? He says, well, you know, I got this little cabin on my property and I rent it out in the winter when my family goes down to Texas, you know, in exchange for helping out around the ranch. I go, I'll take it. He says, call me in 2 months. This is September. So I have to go back to the old girlfriend and I go, hey, would you mind if I hang out for a couple of months at your place? She goes, no, not a problem. So I become the best houseboy you've ever seen. Like keeping the place clean, playing with the cat so the cat doesn't keep her up at night. And November comes and the guy hires me to come live in this cabin that was about the size of this stage, 12 miles from town, that's heated by a wood stove. And it's a 90-year-old cabin, and I know that because one night during a storm, I'm sleeping, and I can feel the snow on my face coming in between the beams. So it is, I think, middle of January, a Sunday night. A lot of snow. You're living at 8,500 feet. And I got this crappy little 12-inch black and white TV with antennas that somehow through the pass, I'm getting a TV signal, but whatever's on the screen, there's two of them. So you kind of have to look like this to watch television. And I'm in my jammies laying on the bed watching TV and I hear this sound. What is that sound? I get up, I turn down the TV. It's coming from over here, the wood stove. No, it's not from the wood stove. I look up, And in where the stovepipe goes through the roof, I see fire. Now, I may not be a cowboy, but I know fire when I see it. Now, I don't have a phone. I have to drive 12 miles into Oak Creek down a dirt road to use a payphone outdoors. I have a pager that's a speaker. So if somebody wants to reach me, they call a number, they leave a 15-second message. 2 minutes later, their voice comes out of my hip, and I drive 12 miles to the phone to call them. And I see this fire, and I'm thinking, oh my God. It's not that my life flashed in front of me. It's that I imagine myself calling the owner going, your cabin burnt down because I'm not a cowboy. So I remember that the guy had said that there was a fire extinguisher right there in the cabin. So I grab this thing, and it's probably smaller than what a Big Gulp is now. and you don't think, how is this thing going to put out that fire? You just point and shoot. Now, if you watch TV or movies, fire extinguishers, you know, they got that big cone like that goes on the dog's head when the dog gets surgery, you know, and all this cloud of like fog comes out, you know, and you're expecting the Hounds of Baskervilles to come out or something like that. Well, this thing, I think, was made in the Eisenhower era. It didn't have the cone. It had a nozzle about this big. But you don't think, how is this going to work? I got fire on the roof. You know? So I stick that thing up and start spraying. And what comes out is, for lack of a better phrase, chalk dust. And it shoots. And, you know, okay, it kind of covers the flame. But now I don't have the smoke of the fog of the other fire extinguisher. I got the fog of chalk dust in the entire cabin. So I throw some shoes on, I get out, I stand up on top of the doghouse, and I'm trying to shoot down between the snow in there, and I'm trying to throw snow on it over here, and I'm running back into the cabin, and I'm looking up, and I see some smoke, but I don't see open flame anymore, and I give it another shot, and I finish out the fire extinguisher, and it's done. And I think, oh my God, I hope I got it, because I got to go 12 miles to find somebody, you know, and this thing is not going to work. Well, the worst part became the next 3 days, because the fire went out. I lay down. I got a little sleep with, like, you know, one eye open and both ears open. But the worst part was that chalk dust went everywhere. And all of a sudden, I find myself having to wash every single thing inside that cabin, from the dishes to my underwear, you know, trucking all my clothes into town to go to the laundromat. And the good news is I didn't burn down the cabin. I didn't have to call the guy in Texas and go, you can keep my security deposit. Not a problem. But I'd learned I'm not a cowboy. Thank you.